Anna, you remember we studied together the first week of June if you were here. Good biblical name. Anybody remember anything commendable about Anna from the Bible in Luke chapter 2? What's something that characterized her, Noah? She was old, yes. And that's commendable. We appreciate old people. Yes, Heidi. Absolutely, yeah. Her husband died. She was a widow for most of her life. And yet she didn't wallow in that and feel sorry for herself. She committed herself to serve the Lord. Exactly. How'd she do that? Anybody remember? Yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, committed to the ministry at the temple, serving, worshiping. Godly lady, and I hope that will be true of my daughter, Anna. I hope that will be true of you. Our second daughter, we still went for a biblical name, Abby or Abigail, who was one of the wives of David. And I was going to study her this morning, but she's not quite as cool as Anna, and so I decided not to. She's still in, no, the biblical Abigail, not my daughter. My daughter Abby is equally as cool as my daughter Anna. But the biblical character, I actually decided that we're going to study something related to my fourth daughter, which is, her name is Ashlyn. Does anyone know what Ashlyn means? It means something like of the ash tree or something profound like that. So we're going to not talk about that. But Ashlyn's middle name is Hope. My first daughter is Anna Joy, and my second daughter is Abigail Grace, and my third daughter is Aubrey Faith, and now we have Ashlyn Hope. And so even those that don't have a meaningful first name can have a meaningful middle name. And so we're going to talk about hope this morning. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. If you need something to write with this morning, glad to give you something. You know, unfortunately, when we talk about hope, most of the time, it's not really the same idea as what the Bible means when it talks about hope. For example, how many of you high school students hope it doesn't rain while you're on camp? Yeah, you hope it doesn't. You know, how many of you guys know it's not going to rain while you're on camp? Jake does. Jake's wrong, bro. When we talk about hope, it's kind of like, you know, maybe this will happen. It's uncertain, but I'd like it to be this way. It's maybe unlikely, but I hope this happens. Yes, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not talking about an uncertain thing. It's talking about a confidence based on what we know to be true about the future. And you guys, that's a different way of thinking about hope for us. And I hope, as we go through it this morning, that we will uncover that together as we look at Scripture together this morning. You guys, hope is sometimes a lost virtue for Christians. The Bible talks about three virtues sometimes for believers: faith, hope, and love. And we often think about faith and how critical that is for us both to be saved and then living a life of faith. We often think about love as the quality that defines us as Christians. And rightfully so. Jesus told his disciples that all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Yes, but the third of those virtues, hope, is a critical one for us as well. Vital for how we live as believers. It defines us as much as those other two do as well. And so look at Romans 8. I want us to answer four questions this morning about hope as we seek to understand it. And the first question is simply, what is hope? When we talk about hope, what is it that we're referring to? And I think Romans 8 spells it out for us very clearly. Look there as we begin in verse 18. Paul is writing and he says this. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for their creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." Paul's writing about the coming glory that he looks forward to. And not only that he looks forward to, but that all of creation looks forward to. Pretty powerful picture there, isn't it? Of creation groaning and waiting for the time when it is too is redeemed. You know, it's not just us who think our world is a little messed up by sin, but all of creation is waiting for that day. And so Paul says this in verse 23. He says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And verse 24 says, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Guys, that's a mouthful, isn't it? About hope. Say that five times fast, you know, and hope we've been saved, and we hope for what is seen is not hope, but hope for what I already see. Yeah, what's he talking about? He's essentially saying that we hope for something, we look for something that we have not yet seen. It's future. It's something that we are looking towards. We are eagerly awaiting. But he's making the point that that hope is not something that we just think, oh, maybe this will happen, maybe it won't. But it's an eager expectation, a confidence that something future is going to come. He says, I'm confident. He's eagerly awaiting this. It's a sure thing to him. Yes, you may not know with confidence that it's not going to rain on camp, but you can be pretty confident that after Sunday school, you're probably going to go on camp, right? You have a more confident hope of that than of a lot of other things. Yes, he's saying, my hope is based on what I am confident in, and yet what is still future. And that future, if we were to summarize it just generally, he goes on and describes that for us. Look down at verse 28. What is it that that confident hope is? In the first part of this chapter, it's that God will redeem his body. And then he goes on generally and says in verse 28 that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And what is that good? Verse 29 describes it for us as being conformed to the image of his Son. You guys, what is our future hope? What are we confident that's going to happen in the future? Well, there's a lot of specifics that we could talk about. But if I was to summarize it for you on your handout there, it's an expectation of good. An expectation of good. That God is going to do for us what is good in the future based on the character and promises of God in Christ. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. You guys, but it's a confident looking towards the future, knowing that God is going to bring about good. And you guys, that's only possible for the believer. As we see in Romans 8, verse 28, there he says that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. If you are in Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, you can look towards the future with confidence, with a hope that God is going to work for your good, which is ultimately to make you like Christ, and that that's going to happen in this life and then ultimately in the life to come, as Paul describes in the earlier part of Romans 8. Yes, that's a confident expectation. It's not, well, gee, maybe God's going to work for good tomorrow. I don't know. Hope he does. If not, it's going to be a bummer. No, it's a confident expectation of future good. And you guys, we need that. We need hope. Second thing, when do we need hope? Yes, if that is hope, there are times in life when you and I are desperate for that mindset. Yes, the world around us is desperate for hope. So many people are living in a way where they view life as hopeless. They're helpless. They're not looking forward to anything. It's a chore just to get out of bed each day. And you guys, that can be us in the midst of a couple of things. The first time that we need hope, you guys, is in the midst of our sin. Yes, you and I need hope because of our sin. Ephesians 2, you don't have to turn there, says this. It says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yes, because of sin, Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, you were at one time separated from Christ, and because of that, you had absolutely no hope. You guys, for the person who is in rebellion against God, is there any future expectation of good? You know, they may have a nice day tomorrow, it may be sunny, and they get to go on a picnic. But is that really ultimately going to lead anywhere for their future good? No, ultimately they're looking towards future what? Judgment, right? Punishment. Their sin is going to be punished with God's wrath. Yes, there is no hope for a person living in sin. It's hopeless. And because of our sin, we need hope. And we'll talk about where that comes from in a minute. Yes, for the unbeliever, they need hope. Hope to solve that problem of their sin, but for the believer as well. You think about in your life, are there any sins that you struggle with over and over and you don't want to, but you do? And they just continue. Maybe it's with your parents. You wish you could honor them better, but it's just hard, and you continue to struggle with that. Yes, in the midst of those things, we need hope, right? We need an expectation that tomorrow could be different, that God can work in my life tomorrow to change me, even though I've continued to struggle with this day after day. I need a reason to get up tomorrow and continue to fight that battle against sin in my life, you guys, and there's hope for that. And we'll see that in a moment. Yes, Jesus gave people hope in the midst of their sin, didn't he? You know, when the religious leaders would come and talk to Jesus and complain about him hanging out with sinners, he said, no, I came to heal the sick, to preach to the lame and to heal or to minister to the sinful people. Yes, Jesus came to offer them hope. You think of the woman caught in adultery. Yes, was she a sinful person in a hopeless situation? Remember the story? They were taking her to stone her. Does she have any expectation of good coming the next day? No. And what does Jesus offer her? Forgiveness. Go and sin no more. Hope for the future. You guys, in the midst of sin, we need hope, but also in the midst of suffering, we need hope. Guys, there's times when life is hard. There's times when you and I go through difficulties and trials and things look bleak and it's easy to be discouraged and downtrodden in the midst of that. And we need hope in the midst of our sin and in the midst of our suffering. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Yes, 1 Peter is a book filled with hope. We'll look at some more of the verses in 1 Peter in just a few minutes. But in verse 3, he writes, kind of getting the tone of his book started, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And he goes on and continues to build on that theme and to provide them and encourage them with hope. In verse 13 of chapter 1, he says, "Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you." He's writing to give these people hope. Does anybody remember what was going on in the lives of the people that Peter was writing to in 1 Peter? Anybody remember from when you've read this book before, studied it? Were they having a, you know, nice, rosy life on high school camp? Andrew?
They were aliens and strangers.
Yeah. They're aliens and strangers. Look at verse 1. It says, he's writing to those who are aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Why would they be scattered? Did they just decide we don't like each other and we want to move elsewhere? You know, great missions movement. We'll just all leave. No, they were being persecuted. He was writing to people who were suffering because of their faith, who life was hard and miserable in the midst of difficulty, not because they were sinful, but because they were faithful. Peter writes to them and says, there's hope. As in the midst of suffering, there is hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn over there real quick. Paul was writing to answer some questions about the church at the end of chapter 4, and one was about people that had died. And he's explaining to them the rapture, the future promise of Christ's coming. And in verse 13, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Yes, most people, when a loved one dies, they have no hope. But he says, no, for us in the midst of that suffering, that hardship, we should not grieve as they do. We should grieve as those who have hope. You guys, so whatever suffering, whatever trials we go through as believers, from the death of a loved one to persecution to anything in between, we need hope. We need an expectation of good. And you guys, that is exactly what God offers us. God says, in the midst of your sinfulness, There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope. There's an expectation of good. In the midst of your suffering, there's hope. The future is bright if you will follow me. Yeah, so where do we find that hope? What is it that gives us hope in the midst of our sin and our suffering? Is it in ourselves? Is it that, well, I'm just going to work harder tomorrow? Or I'm going to do whatever I can to get through this suffering? Or I'm going to go eat a lot of chocolate and shop and I'll get my mind off this and that'll be fun. Is that our hope? No. The Bible clearly lays out where we find our hope. And it's found in the person of God as He's revealed Himself in Scriptures, ultimately in the gospel of Christ. You guys, the first place we find hope is in the character of God. The character of God. Why can we have an expectation of good about the future? Why can you look towards tomorrow and be excited about what is going to happen in your life? Why can you look towards the day when you die and be excited about eternity? It's because of what God is like. Look at Lamentations 3. Hard book to find. Find Jeremiah. It's a big book in the Old Testament. Turn to the right a few chapters and find Lamentations. Yes, Lamentations, for part of it, is one of the most discouraging and depressing books you could read in the Bible. Because it's Jeremiah writing about the city of Jerusalem having been destroyed. Jeremiah spent his whole life in ministry telling these people to repent or that judgment was going to come. And then he sat and he watched as the city was totally destroyed, as all those things came about. He watched the city just be leveled by the Babylonians. And then he writes about it. And Lamentations means lament, sad song. It's like a funeral dirge about what's gone on. And in chapter 3, he lays out in the first part, we won't take the time to read it, all the bad things that have happened to him and all the bad things that he's going through and feeling. Physical things that are going on, emotional things. He's miserable. Just look at verse 15. He says, "He's filled me with bitterness." Verse 17, "My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness." I don't even remember what it's like to be happy. He's pretty low. But look at verse 20. He says, "Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." In the midst of the lowest of the low for Jeremiah, having experienced all sorts of horrible things, having forgotten even what it's like to smile, he says, "But something came to my mind. I thought about something that I knew before, and it gave me hope." What was it? Verse 22, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." In the midst of the worst circumstances possible, Jeremiah remembered that God is faithful. God is a God of loving kindness and mercy and compassion. And though today is a bad day and tomorrow may be a bad day, He continues to be faithful to me. He continues to be gracious and compassionate to me. Verse 25, he goes on and says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him." He remembered God's faithfulness and loving kindness and goodness, and that filled him with hope. You guys, if you are in a hopeless situation because of your sin or because of the suffering that you're going through, you need to remember God's character and that He continues to be faithful. He continues to be good. As Romans 8:28 says, God is causing all things to work together for good. He's a good God, you guys. He's a loving God, a faithful God who is sovereign, and He can work in the midst of whatever's going on to bring about good in your life. That should give you hope. You guys, the character of God, as you consider it, should fill you with hope if you are a believer, a follower of Christ. Secondly, the promises of God should fill you with hope. The promises of God. Hebrews 10, you don't have to turn there, says this in verse 23. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Hold fast your hope. Don't waver in your hope. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. Yes, somebody tell me, what is a promise that God has given in His Word that gives you hope? a future promise yet to come that gives you hope. Michael?
That we're going to have eternal life.
Absolutely. Does that give you hope? That if you trust Christ, that for all of eternity, you will have eternal life. And that's not just talking about how long you live. For some of you, that could be, you know, for on some days, that's a depressing thing. It's like, man, we got to live forever. I don't really like that. No, but it's a quality of life. It's living forever with God in the presence of God, having abundant life, Jesus describes it as. Man, that should help get you through a bad day, right? Absolutely. The promise of eternal life. What's some other promises that give you hope? Alistair?
We'll never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah. For those that are following Him, Christ is always with you. God's with you. His presence is there. He's never going to abandon you. Absolutely. That should fill you with hope. What else? What are some other promises? Chris? Absolutely. He promises that He is in control, that He's working for good. So whenever life is crazy and you don't understand what's going on, what's the promise you can cling to? God is still in control. What else? Yeah, Hannah?
That He'll forgive us.
Okay, yeah. If you confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Yes, cling to that promise when you sin again the same way that you did yesterday and the day before, and you confess your sin and you repent genuinely, there is hope that God indeed will forgive. That promise you can cling to. Absolutely. What else? Yeah, Tim.
Jeremiah talks about how he has our best interests in mind.
Okay.
He has good things planned for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Taylor, Jessica. Yeah. Christ has promised that He's gone to prepare a place for us. You know, as long as Christ is away, we know that He is eagerly looking towards that time when He's going to return. Do you think about the fact that Jesus could come back at any moment? That should fill you with hope. You know, maybe you're having a bad day. Could be the last day you have because Christ is going to return. Yes, hope in the promises of God. Yes, and those promises are ultimately grounded in His character, right? We can't separate those two things. I can make all kinds of promises to you, and they wouldn't necessarily fill you with hope. Like, I could tell you, you know, on high school camp, I'm going to get there Tuesday, and I'm going to bring a $100 bill for everybody so you can shop at the Riverwalk. Some of you would say, ooh, that's great. I have hope for the Riverwalk. Most of you would say, yeah, right, you're going to do that. Because you know that I don't have the means to do that. I'd like to, maybe, but can't do that. But God is faithful to always fulfill what He says, right? And so we can cling to the promises of God because we understand the character of God. Yes, the third place thing that gives us hope. We find hope in the character of God and the promises of God. Ultimately, third, in the Word of God. The Word of God. Look at Romans 15. Yes, and as you think about this, it's pretty simple. Where do we find out about the character of God and the promises of God? Word of God, right? And so if you're going to understand what God is like and what He has told you is going to happen, you're going to find that in God's Word. But not only are you going to find hope from those things, Romans 15:4 says this. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." What's he talking about? I think Romans is the New Testament. Earlier times would be the Old Testament, right? This is a song. How many of you guys know this song? Everything that was written. Yeah. The end part is great. Ya ta ta ta. Everybody got that part? We'll do that one later. No. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." He says, as we read the Old Testament and the Scriptures in the New Testament, we have hope. Guys, what is it about the Old Testament that should give you hope as you read it? We've just studied it all year. What did you find in there that gives you encouragement and hope? Well, hopefully, you learned some about the character of God, right? All those things we just talked about. You learned something about the promises of God, what's coming in the future. What else? Other things you can think of that give you hope from the Scriptures, particularly the Old Testament? Anybody? Yes, Andrew.
Well, the fact that there is a lot of prophecy about Christ, and He came to fulfill them all, proves it all correct.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of fulfilled prophecy we can find that You know, if God fulfilled all those promises, He's going to fulfill all the others. Good. Other things that give you hope from the Old Testament? You know what I'm encouraged by with the Old Testament? Oh, Jared? Truly. Yeah. I'm encouraged in the Old Testament because the nation of Israel was a bunch of fools who continued to make mistakes, and God continued to be faithful to them, right? He didn't just wipe them out and start over. You know why I'm encouraged by that? Because oftentimes I'm a fool and continue to make mistakes and continue to rebel in ways against God. And God continues to be faithful. And so I see their example. It's like, man, if God used these guys, and if God was faithful to these people, He can do that for us as well. You guys, so when you need hope, you need to think about the character of God. What is God like? What are the promises of God? What has God said He's going to do both now and in the future? And where are you going to find all that? In the Word of God, in the Scriptures. You guys, so when you are burdened by your sin or by suffering, practically what should you do? Should you just lay in bed and wallow in misery? No. You need to fill your mind with those things, with the Word of God. Thinking about and meditating on it. Thinking about the promises and the character of God. And ultimately, fourthly, thinking about the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. You guys, the gospel is what gives us hope. Just want to read some passages that talk about this. Look at Romans 5 with me quickly. Over and over throughout the New Testament, you see the gospel connected with the hope that we have. In verse 5, chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, having been saved through the gospel, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exalt in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What does the gospel lead to? An understanding of verse 1, that we've been justified by faith, that when you place your faith in Christ, God declares you righteous. He declares you innocent, and He credits Christ's righteousness to you. And because of that, you have peace with God. You were enemies before, but now you have peace. What does that give? It gives hope. It gives hope in the midst of tribulation. It gives hope in the midst of whatever we face, and that hope does not disappoint. You guys, Romans goes on and on about the hope that's connected with the gospel. Colossians, turn there real quick. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Where did they find out about the hope that they had, the hope of heaven? It's the gospel. He goes on and says essentially the same thing in verse 23 of Colossians 1. He says, if you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Verse 27 says, it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. You guys, over and over, 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, who is our hope. You guys, what ultimately should give you and give me hope? It's that God is faithful and He's promised eternal life, but He's provided that through the person of Christ and the work that Christ has done on the cross. You guys, God could not just treat us kindly if He had not punished Christ in our place. God could not overlook your sins and my sins if He hadn't poured out His wrath on Christ, on our behalf. You guys, what should give you hope in the midst of your sin? It's that Christ has taken your wrath. He's taken the power of sin and enabled you to live for righteousness. What encourages you in the midst of your suffering? It's that Christ died for you. And God is working in that suffering to make you like Christ, ultimately to be with Christ. Yes, you and I, in the midst of difficulty and discouragement, have hope as we think about the gospel of Christ. The 19th century hymn writer wrote these words. He says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." What's his hope built on? Christ, his death, the gospel. He goes on, he says, "His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When I shall launch in worlds unknown, oh, may I then be found in him, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Yes, the gospel, Christ and his work, gives us hope. Lastly this morning, I want us to think about, what are the results of hope? Guys, if you recognize your need for hope because of your sin and the suffering you go through, if you turn to the character of God and the promises of God as he's revealed in the Word of God, ultimately the gospel of Christ picturing and providing for those things, what will that look like in your life? Will you just be a happy person, smiling all the time, you know, like the Washington Mutual commercial I think I've shown you guys before, where the guy is just having a rotten day, but he's so giddy and happy because of all the good things that have gone on in his life. You know, he's the guy who the hot coffee gets spilled on him. He's like, no problem. You know, you guys, is that how we'd be with hope? No. Not just that. The Bible talks about the response that we have, and part of it is joy and gladness, but there's some other things as well. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. A few more passages we'll have you turn to as we wrap up. Hebrews is a great book about hope. We could have looked at a lot of passages from there this morning, but don't have the time. Hebrews 6 says this. Look at verse 19. The writer of Hebrews is talking about the oath that God has made, the promises of God in Christ, and the fact that they are going to be fulfilled. And he says this, verse 19, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as the forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever." Because he's talking about the hope that we have in Christ, and he says it's an anchor for the soul. It's the picture that comes to my mind is of a boat out on the high seas. Kind of a lot of you helped with VBS and you saw, you know, the video of Jonah and things. You know, picture a boat in the midst of the storm, and yet its anchor is secure. And so that boat is at rest in the midst of the storm. Instead of being tossed and driven and wherever it goes, it's secure in the midst of whatever's going on. Yes, that's one thing that hope does for us. It gives us stability in life. It helps us to be sure and anchored so that whatever comes, you guys, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what the future holds for you. But when you have a confident expectation because of God's character, that good is going to come ultimately out of whatever you face, culminating in eternal life with God forever. You guys, it doesn't matter what tomorrow has. It doesn't matter what bad things come or what difficulties come. Will they be hard? Yes. But your soul will be anchored on the promises of God. Guys, what a blessing hope gives of stability. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Guys, not only will you be spiritually stable as you go throughout life, unmoved by the challenges and difficulties that you face, but you will also live a life of holiness and purity. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. What's He saying there? He's saying, it's amazing that God loved us, and the world yet hates us, but we know that someday, when we see Christ, we're going to be like Him. Verse 2 is saying that when Christ comes back, we don't know exactly what that's going to be like, we don't know exactly what we'll be like, but we will become like Christ in our character. Look at verse 3 then. It says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Guys, you want motivation to live a life of purity and holiness now? That motivation is the hope for the future that you have. If you live your life on a daily basis thinking only about the here and now, thinking only about what's going on today in your life, and you make choices based on what's going to feel good now and those things, you will not live a life of obedience and holiness. But if you live a life of hope, of expectation for the future, of the return of Christ and a life forever with God based on His character and promises, it's going to totally change how you live today. Because you will be looking forward to all of eternity and you will base your decisions on how you're going to live on that. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself as He is pure. Another thing that hope results in for us, 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. If you live a life of hope, you know what it's going to produce for you? Opportunities to tell others about Christ. You know, when life is hard for you and you have hope in the midst of that, people are going to say, wow, that's different. Most people don't do that. You know, you just wrecked your car on the way to school, and yet you're still joyful today, and you still have a good perspective in the midst of that. And man, that's weird. Most people don't do that. Why do you do that? And you can explain to them, well, it's because I have a future hope. I'm not living just for today. I'm looking at the future, and I know God's going to use that in my life to bring about some good, and I have no idea what that is right now, but I'm excited to see what that is. And ultimately, you know, it's just a car, and I'm living for eternity. And they're going to say, whoa, man, that's different. And you get a chance to share with them and talk with them. Hope also then gives you boldness to take those opportunities. In 2 Corinthians 3:12, Paul says, therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. He's talking about the future hope again that he has. Yes, so hope is a critical characteristic if you are a believer in Christ. It's a quality that God desires for you. He provides for you. He longs for you to live a life of hope, for your soul to be anchored with the future hope that God is accomplishing what He desires for your good, for His glory, that ultimately you will be with Him. Okay, so when you see my little baby girl, Ashlyn, you can either think about the ash tree. don't do that. You can think, oh, isn't she cute? That's great. But think about the fact that her name is Ashlyn Hope. That's what I'm going to think about. And be reminded of the hope that God gives. Not, oh, I hope things turn out all right, but I am confident that God is going to work to accomplish His good purposes in my life and in the future. You guys, but know as well, as we saw in Ephesians 2, that if you have not come to a point in your life where you've repented and trusted in Christ, you have no hope. You should live every day with the recognition that you are on borrowed time and your future has no promise of good, but only a future of judgment. Because if you're here today and that's you, you should be hopeless, but you should know that God has provided a way for you to have hope. And that is through the gospel of Christ, as it reveals God's gracious and compassionate character, has provided a way for you to know Him, to be restored to right relationship with Him. Yeah, so there's hope. In the midst of your sin, in the midst of your suffering, God has provided a future hope. Let's pray. God, I thank You for the fact that Your Scriptures speak so clearly to the hope that we should have. Lord, it's easy to get discouraged in the midst of this life because of the circumstances that we go through that are difficult, because of our continued struggle with sin. Lord, it's easy to dwell on those things, to become just disheartened by those challenges that we face. And yet, Lord, you provide for us hope of the future. Lord, not a, you know, maybe these things will happen, but a confident expectation of future good based on who you are and what you've promised to bring about on our behalf through Christ. I pray that whatever people are facing today and this week, Lord, whatever challenging circumstances you bring, however discouraged any of us may be in this room, that we would see the light at the end of the tunnel through faith in Christ, and that we would live a life based on the hope that we have, a life of holiness and stability, a life of boldness, sharing with others about you. Lord, we love you. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.